Talk 1580, and we're taking public media black. Black.
With Michelle Duffy. Not only am I the proud host of this beautiful show, I'm a professional storyteller and coach who has had the honor of helping individuals find their way to the best version of themselves for over 3 decades. Why? Because I deeply believe in the power of stories to help us see ourselves and see one another. That's what we do in this space and in this hour. We let other people's stories, other people's journeys, other people's backstory inspire us to tap more intentionally into our own. So thanks for meeting me here as we kick off year 3 today. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate your presence and trust that you all are well. Listen, thank you also for celebrating with me last week, my 56th birthday, my 100th show. I love you and all of my girlfriends from Baltimore who took the time to hang out with me. That said, on this beautiful new day that God has given us, we have a lot to talk about, and indeed we will. Before we get into our conversation, though, allow me to invite you to keep up with KBLA on all platforms at KBLA 1580. I'm also on all platforms at Michelle Inspires. That's MISCHAINSPIRES. Our call-in number is 1-800-920-1580. That's 1-800-920-1580. And to infuse more empowering conversations into your days, download your app. Download our app, from the App Store on your device of choice, right? Okay, so here we go. Today, I want to open the show up with this story that I read, and it really speaks to what I believe we're getting ready to get into with my guest. It's a book called Soul Stories by Gary Zukav. And this chapter is called Trust. And it says, ask the creator for what you want, they told her, and the creator will always answer you. They had told her that since she was a baby, now she was 11. I'm sorry, she was 7. I asked the creator for something, she said one morning. What did you ask for, darling? They asked. For snow on my birthday, she said, giggling. Her parents looked at each other in alarm. The little girl's birthday was in July. And then they lived in the desert. It is very hot in July in the desert. 2 weeks later, the girl spoke about her birthday again. I want a birthday party with all my friends, she announced. Now they were very alarmed, but they arranged the party. Everyone came, had a wonderful time, and they left. There was no snow, but the little girl didn't appear to be sad. Are you disappointed with the creator? Are you disappointed that the creator didn't answer you? They asked her gently. He did answer me, she replied. He said no. So some people call the creator the universe. They think they know how the universe works, like the parents of the little girl. They're always disappointed in trying to understand why things happen. They are happy with some answers the universe gives them and unhappy with others. Why would the universe do this to me? They ask. This isn't fair, they say. The difference between these people and the little girl is trust. She is happy with any answer the universe gives. They aren't. They think they know how the universe should be. When it isn't that way, they get upset. Have you ever been so worried about something like an exam that you can't think about anything else? You know, I could go on and on and on, but here's what I want you to take from this story. That sometimes the answer isn't what you think it should be, but it doesn't mean that there isn't an answer, right? And I wanted to share that on the onset of this conversation I'm about to have with the amazing Michael Shepherd, because one of the things I've taken away from just meeting him 3 times now is that he is not afraid of the answers that come from the universe, but he is committed to doing what he needs to do with those answers. And when I look at and observe his work in the play, Blood at the Roots, which we are about to talk about, is currently playing in Open Fist Theater at the Open Fist Theater Company. You have to go see it. Buy your ticket. Go see it. I've seen it twice. I'm going to see it a third time because it's just that good. But I want you to hear our conversation from that space of whatever answer you get from God, from the universe, from whatever you call it, be ready to do something with it. On that note, Michael Shepherd, welcome to The Backstory.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you for asking me.
I'm so happy to have you. So here's where I want to go. If you would, could you give us your backstory? Born and raised, how you come into theater, fell in love with stories.
I'm born and raised in a little town in southern Illinois called Alton, Illinois. Mm-hmm. It is known for several things. It was a major stop on the Underground Railroad. Mm-hmm. It was the sixth location of the Lincoln-Douglas debates. Mm-hmm. And it is home of the world's tallest man, Robert Whatlow. But the thing I take most from my hometown of Alton is that it is known as the most haunted small town in America.
Really?
Yes, there's so many ghost stories. It's wonderful.
What? Okay, and you say wonderful. Why?
Because it's another realm. It's another, you know, this. When you get there, you feel the ancestors. Mm. You feel them talking to you when you ask correctly for them to talk to you. You can actually feel that in the earth when you're walking around. Mm. And I think that a lot of us tend to shut ourselves off. Because the ancestors are there to give you answers.
Yeah.
They are right there. And I call on them whenever I need to.
Yeah.
And sometimes even when I don't, I just, you know, let them know that I'm here. I appreciate the work you've done, what you have, the responsibility you have placed on my shoulders. Because I know that I got to make sure they're strong enough to carry the next person forward.
I think, just for clarification, you had said it's a haunted, the
it's
most haunted, right?
Yes.
And you talked about ghosts, but then you also talked about our ancestors. And so for the person listening, can we give clarity to that point? Because when I think of haunted and ghosts, I think of scary, wicked, evil. But then you talk about our ancestors and them being able to talk to you and lift you and give you answers.
I think you can interpret it any way you want,
okay.
I believe. I know when I was 14 years old, my grandmother came to live with us.
Yes.
And I'll say it. Her husband at the time tried to kill her. And so she had to leave at that experience.
And you got to hold it right there. When we come forward, Michael is going to finish telling us the story about how his grandmother's husband tried to
kill her.
This is KBLA Talk 1580. We're just getting started.
Stay tuned for more of
The Backstory.
The Backstory. Backstory. With Mache Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
King C. Gillette knows you're dedicated to your barbershop routine. But what about after? What's your routine for facial hair to avoid dry skin, itching, and beard rough? Well, the King C. Gillette Beard Oil is the perfect fit for making your beard feel as good as it looks. It softens your facial hair and moisturizes to help prevent itch due to dry skin. Get facial hair that feels as good as it looks. Just trim, wash, and soften with King C. Gillette.
For all of us, this generation and the next, there is simply no place in our lives for litter. And yet, it's everywhere we look. And unfortunately, it does belong to all of us. So, let's come together and create a litter-free, clean California, once and for all. Remember to properly dispose of your trash and recycling. Secure truckloads with tarps to keep debris from flying out. Clean out your car when you're at a gas station. Take pride in your community by organizing a cleanup event. or join a cleanup event near you. Zero litter is the goal. Join us at cleanca.com. That's cleanca.com. Let's do it together. Brought to you by Caltrans. cleanca.com.
At Susan G. Komen, we believe that ending breast cancer needs all of us working together. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to honor the loved one you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Visit Komen.org and be a part of our Susan G. Komen community today.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Every story has a backstory.
You're listening to The Backstory. Backstory.
With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Shay Duffy. He is Michael Shepherd, actor and director of the new stage play, Blood at the Root, which is now playing at Open Fist Theater Company here in Los Angeles. Before the break, Michael was sharing with us how his grandmother's husband was trying to kill her, and I want to come right back to that story.
Yes, so what we found out is that he had been slowly poisoning her with rat poison, and she was getting sicker and sicker, and this is a very healthy woman. Mm-hmm. And so once it was found out, she's immediately moved into our home where she got better. But as she was walking in, and it's something very strange, I never remember my grandmother ever coming to our house ever growing up. Just didn't. And so we would always go to her house. And as she was walking towards the front door of our home, she stops and looks at me and she says, "You were born with a veil." And I was like, "I don't know what that is." And she said, "No, you were born with a veil. You can see." And then she proceeds to walk back in the house. And that's all. It always stuck with me, but I didn't know what it meant until someone explained it to me, that I have sort of a window into whatever the other world is. And I have been very fortunate to have experiences with spirits and supernatural things, and it's not frightening. It's not scary. Sometimes it can get a little dark, you know. Mm-hmm. I have been in situations in my hometown of Alton where it was like there's a veil of darkness that's come across some rooms, and you just go, "Yep, not going in there." That's not who's calling me. But I've had lots of experiences. I've been featured on some TV shows and things like that for sort of my abilities.
Yeah. I wanted you to talk more about, you know, during the break you were talking about our ancestors, and I'd asked you, you had used the word ghost, and then I talked about our ancestors and the ghost and the ancestors, and you made a really powerful point about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can you share that?
Yeah, I mean, we have been taught that ghosts and are evil spirits and evil things. And one of the things that I, in some research that I've been doing, is I found out, I wish I knew the year, but they changed, it used to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they actually got rid of Holy Ghost to change it to spirit, because the connotations behind the word ghost were so strongly attached to, you know, something that is evil. So they had to change that because people were afraid of saying the word ghost.
And so, you know, when we think about, we were talking about this during the break, when we think about our ancestors and we think about what they not only did for us back then, but what they're still doing for us now. You talked about how your ancestors are with you when you're working, even in your acting, that you ask them to guide you and lead you. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? I thought that that was just so beautiful, because again, it's not just about what they did and the groundwork they laid. If we let them, they can be with us every single day.
I believe they're with us every single day.
Yeah.
I know that I feel the presence of certain relatives in my life all the time. Mm. And they are the ones who, when I am preparing for a role, I will take a moment and sit and just contemplate and ask the ancestors who were similar to the role that I'm about to do and ask them to guide me along so I can do this role in the truest essence of who they were, mm. to make sure that I am paying honor to them.
Yes.
And they love talking back and answering and letting me know, no, that's not real. And I mean, not physical, but you know, mm-hmm. all of a sudden your body feels something.
For sure, for sure. Go,
okay, let me sit for a minute again.
Yeah.
And figure out what this is.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah.
That the ancestors are there to guide us. Mm-hmm. And because we are standing on their shoulders and they're preparing our shoulders for the next generation to stand upon our shoulders.
Amen. Amen. Can you talk to me about acting and your career and how and when did you know this is what you were supposed to do?
Well, I was in the second grade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is a long time ago because I'm older. I'm not old. I'm seasoned. I'm seasoned.
Let's get the there language right, right?
And so, and I, because I'm 6'6 and 270, and I was big as a kid. And so when the second grade play happened for all the parents to come see and everything, they were doing Cinderella. And I was asked to be the horse that pulled the wheelbarrow that Cinderella and the prince were in through the cafetorium, you know, that auditorium and cafeteria. We all had it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember
Multi-purpose
room. And I remember going around the cafetorium and stopping, and they got out. You know, they hugged because we didn't kiss back then, you know, and all of a sudden it was a bow. And I remember hearing that applause, and I knew that every ounce of that applause was for the horse. That's what I felt. That was for the horse. That was for me. That's all I heard and realized, oh, this is what I have to do with my life. And, you know, I was, and my parents and my siblings were like, no, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a doctor. And I went to medical school and, you know, and I was like, in pre-med, I was like,
maybe not.
You know, and I you know, because you want to honor your family.
Surely.
You want to honor your parents.
Surely.
And then I started hanging around theater kids and it was done then. It was just done. I got asked to do a production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and I played Snoopy, the head of the...
Did you? Yes, I love Snoopy.
The head of the theater department there happened to see it my freshman year, and it was like, hey, why aren't you in the theater department? I go, I don't know. Tell me why I should be in the theater department. She told me why, so I changed majors, but I didn't tell my parents until my junior year.
Really? Because you thought they were going to try to talk you out of it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And the other thing, but the thing is once I got out of school and I moved, I went to Illinois Wesleyan and then I moved to Chicago and my first acting job in Chicago was a 3-episode arc on ER playing a doctor.
Really?
Like, and this is what I found. You know, there's not, you know, a black mother can brag about their children who are successful. They will brag and brag and brag, go into church, go, well, you know, my baby a doctor, my baby a dentist. But my mother, when she saw me on television and she saw that all her friends from church could see me on television.
Yes.
All of a sudden, my baby on the ER. You see my baby on the ER. That's my baby. What's your baby doing?
Right.
My baby on television. You know, so there was a whole, you know, once she saw that this dream could come true for me, it was like, everything changed.
Yes.
Everything changed.
And you know, this story, it makes me say God has such a sense of humor because she wanted you to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you were. You were.
I was.
Listen, for those episodes on ER, you were a doctor.
Yeah.
But you were a doctor doing what you loved doing and what God was calling you to do. And you know, we opened this segment, this show up talking about how the universe answers and how the universe listens and hears. And I just think that is so absolutely profoundly beautiful that your first TV role was a doctor.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it was, you know, it was very fun, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the first episode I did, I had 106 temperature.
Mm.
I was so sick.
Mm.
And it was just like, I went and did that first episode, and I was like, no, I'm just going to, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And whatever in the universe is trying to stop me, I'm not going to let it.
Wow.
I'm not going to let it.
Wow. And so more than 4 decades later, more than four decades later with your seasoned, amazing self. Tell me what you know about acting now that you didn't when you first got into it. I mean, I know there was a lot you didn't, but I'm sure you had some thoughts about what it would be.
It's okay to be scared. Because I think, and this is for anything, I think, in life, if all of a sudden, if you feel that fear, it means you're doing something right. You're doing something that's about to change you. You know, I'm not saying run out in the street because I'm afraid to run out in the street. Don't, you know.
Not that kind of fear.
Not that kind of fear.
Right.
But if it feels inside of you that, ooh.
The thing that's bigger than you.
Yes,
that you feel like you can't get your hands, your mind around.
And you just have to keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
And once that breakthrough happens, there was an actor in Chicago. His name was Johnny Lee Davenport. He passed away a couple years ago. And I remember I was doing the show. I was doing my very first musical. I was doing Ain't Misbehavin'. And I couldn't get it. I wasn't a musical theater performer. And I just couldn't get it. And I just found myself going deeper and deeper into this hole. And I couldn't find a way to pull myself out. And I remember seeing him on the 22 Clark bus in Chicago. Anyone who knows Chicago knows that bus. And he says, "What's up, brother?" And I said, "Listen, I don't know what to do." I said, "Every time I look, all I see is a wall. All I do is see a wall, and I can't get through that wall." He said, "Close your eyes." I said, "Okay." He goes, "Now look at the wall. Now lift yourself up and look down, and what do you see?" I go, "A step." He goes, "Take the step, brother."
Wow.
He said, "Take the step." And I will always be grateful for that.
Yes.
Because every time we think we're hitting a wall, take that breath.
Yes.
And look down.
Yes.
And you'll see the step, and take the step.
Wow. And thankfully, the brother was there to tell you that. And you had an open heart and mind to receive it.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. He was an amazing man, amazing actor. So that for me is one of those lessons that I carry and share as often as possible.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of young black actors out there, actors and actresses out there who need to hear that, because the obstacles that they are
the walls that they're seeing,
everything that's put in front of them to stop them from moving forward.
Yeah.
Take that breath, look down, and take the step.
Take the step.
Yeah.
From Michael the actor to Michael the director, I want to talk about him. I want to talk about directing. Talk to us about directing. When was your directorial debut? And then we're going to talk about Blood at the Root.
Well, I did a few little things when I was in New York, nothing real big. And then when I moved to L.A., opportunities came up that were much bigger.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I had no idea. I mean, I had some great directors, and all of a sudden I was like, I got offered a big directing job, and I was like, okay, so what do you do? And I started thinking about everything I'd learned from all the directors I'd worked with, and the first show was pretty abysmal. It was not great. It was okay. It wasn't horrible. And then, you know, you get offered again, another show, and then you start figuring out who you are within yourself. You know, you start growing up and start realizing, oh, this is the type of directing I like to do.
Yeah.
I like to do this. I like to create these type of visuals when I direct. And like with Blood at the Root, you know, I knew what those visuals were going to be. You know, I knew that it had to have some element of HBCU. I knew that there's one of my favorite artists is Carl Walker, who does silhouette work. And I knew that I'd always wanted to find something to honor her.
Oh, you do such a beautiful job with that.
And, you know, and making sure that the words that are coming out of these actors' mouth rang true. And having all those conversations around what truth means, even if the truth actually hurts, that you have to be able to portray these characters in their honesty, and you can't be afraid of it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that. So Blood at the Root. Okay, for framing's sake, you all.
Now don't give too much away.
I ain't giving too much. I promise you I'm not. Just enough for you all to wrap your head around why you need to get there.
Please.
It's about a high school setting, some young people, black young people who took a bold step to go somewhere they weren't supposed to go on the campus.
I can say this, if you don't mind.
No, go.
So this Blood of the Root is by playwright Dominique Morisseau, and it is based on a real-life event that happened in 2006.
Okay.
And it's called, the case is called the Gina 6. Now, the Gina 6. And what happened was, is that at this very segregated high school in Gina, Louisiana, there was a tree. And this tree was for, had always been designated for, this is where the white kids sat.
Mm-hmm.
All the white kids always sat.
Okay,
this tree.
I'm glad you're telling me, because
I can tell this part. This is in the description. And it's about what happens when a young black person decides enough is enough, and yes, they sit under the tree.
Yeah.
So, and it's about what happens.
Yes. Yes. And I will say this. Speaking of what happens first, I need to give the writer her props because she did an amazing job. The language in the play, the conversations, the energy that the actors bring to the characters is just amazing. I mean, you sit there and you sit at the end of your seat and you can feel everything that they're saying, that they're feeling. They bring their whole hearts.
Absolutely, don't they, Michael?
They bring their whole... These actors are amazing.
Young actors.
Yeah, yeah. They are... They own. You're talking about own a role? They own these roles.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And it is... I am one of the luckiest directors because, you know, 90% of directing is casting.
Mm.
I didn't have to work that hard.
Get the right cast. You don't have to work that hard.
I got the right cast.
Yeah.
The absolute right cast.
Yeah, yeah. And so the play explores racism. Plain and simple. It explores racism. And one of the things you do very beautifully is you bring in another character to add to the characters. I keep calling it another texture in its chairs. You bring in chairs, and these chairs speak volumes. I want to talk about, when we come forward, why chairs and what made you think that that would be an added attraction, because it absolutely is. I am Michelle Duffy. He's Michael Shepherd. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
Disagree without disrespect.
Make your point and keep it pushing.
Let's do this. Listen and learn, or talk and teach. Talking and listening around the clock. Around the clock. Around the clock. KBLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. Former NFL player Sergio Brown, who is black, is facing first-degree murder for the death of his mother, Myrtle Brown, in Illinois after his arrest in San Diego. The 7-year NFL veteran was arrested after coming back across the border from Mexico. Rudolph Isley, who is black and a member of the Isley brothers, has died. TMZ reports he passed away Wednesday in Illinois, with a source telling the outlet it's believed he suffered a heart attack. The Isley brothers began performing together in 1954. The first trailer for Prime Video's Christmas film, Candy Cane Lane, is being released. The film stars Eddie Murphy, who is black, as a father that accepts a wish from an elf to help his family win the neighborhood Christmas decoration contest. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Make your next lunch a lunch combo from Buffalo Wild Wings. Choose from wings, street tacos, and more. Head to Buffalo Wild Wings or order online at buffalowildwings.com. At participating locations for a limited time, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Price and participation vary by location. Taxes extra. See menu for details.
Follow the leader.
KBLA Talk 1580.
Follow the leader.
If you're not following KBLA Talk 1580 on all of our socials, then you're missing out. Download our app and find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and on the web at KBLA 1580.
That's right.
Again, you can find all of our socials at KBLA 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
By the way, if you miss any of our weekday shows in real time, you can always catch up by checking out the podcasts of your favorite shows at your leisure. At KBLA Talk 1580, we've got your black.
Got your black.
Follow the leader.
Oh, my God.
Follow the leader.
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 I walk for my mom, who survived a heart attack.
I walk to inspire my kids.
I walk to save lives.
So can you. Join the American Heart Association's Greater Los Angeles Heart and Stroke Walk, October 22nd. Register at heartwalkla.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Turning my pain into purpose is pretty much what I have done to start this foundation.
In August 2020, after the death of George Floyd, Bridget Floyd and other family members established the George Floyd Memorial Foundation in support of the Black community.
It's going to take more than just us as a foundation. It's going to take the community, the world, to make a change.
Fight for racial justice for the Black community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
KBLA Talk 1580.
The rent is too damn high. KBLA joins you in calling for affordable housing. The LA Tenants Union is a diverse, tenant-led movement fighting for the human right to housing for all. The LA Tenants Union demands safe, affordable housing and union rent control. They organize against landlord harassment, mass evictions, and displacement, and mobilize for the repeal of the Ellis Act and Costa Hawkins Act. The LA Tenants Union is on a mission to strengthen tenants' political power through education, advocacy, and direct action. To get help with your eviction or other landlord-tenant issues, take action for justice, or become a member, visit latenantsunion.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Only one in five people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep, that is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
No young person should ever have to worry about having a safe place to sleep at night or whether anyone cares about them.
But the reality is, 1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year.
For over 50 years, Covenant House has been helping youth in crisis and giving them the support and tools they need to succeed in life. To learn more, go to covenanthouse.org today. Thank you for caring.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Joey from Vermont, a farmer trying to get through the winter. Adriana from South Carolina, a single mother living paycheck to paycheck. Liam from Ohio, an injured father struggling to provide for his family. Hi, I'm Shanola Hampton, and I support the Feeding America Network of Food Banks because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Thanks for spending some quality time with us and checking out the new weekend talk shows only on KBLA Talk 1580.
Shea Duffy, host of this wonderful show called The Backstory, right here on KBLA Talk 1580. My wonderful guest today is Mr. Michael Shepherd. He is an actor and the director of the stage play Blood at the Root. It is currently playing at the Open Fist Theater Company here in LA, and I had the beautiful opportunity to moderate a back talk with Michael and the cast 2 weekends ago.
Yes.
And we had a really, really good time.
And I believe, and it felt, everything that was being asked was felt very organic and just that. And when those questions are asked the way they were asked, you go, okay, this play affected you.
Yes.
It made you feel something that you had to talk about it.
Exactly. And people said they were not leaving the same way as they were when they came. People said that they were going, this gave them something to think about. And although the subject matter of the play, as we, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the stage play Blood at the Root. It is about racism. It is about some black students who decided to sit under oak tree at a predominantly white school that they weren't supposed to sit under. And so here's the deal. As a result of that, a lot of things happen, right? And we talked about the writer who does an amazing job with language here.
Dominique Morrison.
Dominique Morrison. And one of the lines that got me, Michael, was, you ever wake up and realize how you've been doing the same thing? And in the context of racism, I'm wondering from you, are you surprised after all of these years that we are still where we are?
No, I'm not surprised.
Okay. I ain't got to finish that. Tell me why you're not surprised. I'm listening.
It's because there, from, and this is just my opinion, that there's a disconnect with black folks, not all black folks, because we're not a monolith, but there's a disconnect with, I think, a big amount of black folks who don't want to give up on the notion that we can actually do well by ourselves, and we don't need to ask permission from or be accepted by those who are non-melanated.
That said, when sticking with this line, you ever wake up and realize you've been doing the same thing? Is that one of the same things that we continue to do?
Yeah, we do what we know.
Right.
And going back to what I was talking about earlier about that fear, that sort of thing that you go, ooh, I shouldn't, is that, I don't know if I should move forward through this. And then you do, and you get to the other side and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bring me the next thing. Yeah. Bring me the next thing.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are challenged. Once they become challenged by something, they go, that's too hard. And I don't want to do that. And I think that's, it's also becoming generational now.
Okay. Can I ask this question?
Yes.
When I look at, and I'm only going to name these three because it's going to be familiar to people. I know that there are hundreds and hundreds of other examples. But when you look at a Dr. King, when you look at a Harriet Tubman, when you look at a Rosa Parks and all that they put on the line, right? What do you think was in them that may not necessarily be in us when you talk about the fear? Because to some extent, there was a fearlessness that they had to be able to take the chances that they took. Am I making sense?
Yes, of course, you're making absolute sense. I would hate to presume what any of those three people were actually thinking and how they moved forward through their life and what propelled them to do the things that they did to create change the way they did. I can only speak for myself, and that is, you have to wake up with the choice to do. I had a teacher once who told me this. When you go on stage, scare yourself at how good you can be. That when you walk off that stage, you're like, you should be shaking because you didn't know you could be that good.
Ooh.
And I think we have to.
I love that, yeah. Michael.
We have to be able to scare ourselves into knowing that I can create change. You know, it's a revolutionary act for black folks to wake up and go out the door in the morning because of all the armor we have to put on, all the deep breaths we have to take before we leave the safety of our homes.
Yes.
We have, you know, so that's a revolutionary act, walking out into the daylight
every day. How about that?
So everyone, we already know we're capable of that.
Yeah.
And now we just have to keep pushing ourselves to go further with that.
Mm.
And to be able to stop and say, no, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to hear you say that again, without having to worry about hurting non-melanated people's feelings. Because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
the facts of your day have nothing to do with their feelings.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I think once you start talking about facts and not feelings, I think that you can push yourself forward more.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm hearing you correctly, the facts push you back, push you past the feelings and get you to that place of fearlessness, because the I'm being scared is never going to go away. It's still moving in spite of the fact that I'm feeling terrified right now as I take this step, whether it's sitting behind a mic like myself or you directing a play or someone writing their book for the first time, whatever that thing is that makes you feel like, oh my God, rising above that feeling to say, I absolutely want to see how phenomenal I can show up today. I think that's absolutely amazing, Michael. Yeah.
And, you know, I remember for my 40th birthday, I believe, one of my biggest fears, I don't know why I have this fear. It's an irrational fear. It makes no sense. When I would see helicopters flying, I would start to cry and I would freeze up.
Really?
I don't know where it came from. I'm not trying to figure it out. This thing kept happening. And as you're driving, for those of you who are in Southern California, if you're driving down the 5 by the water, sometimes the helicopters would be just over the water in like a set of 3.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to pull over and I would just shake uncontrollably and couldn't drive anymore until I calmed myself down.
Mm.
So for my 40th birthday, I said, okay. What are you going to do about that? I went on a helicopter ride.
Did you?
Went on a helicopter ride, and I have to tell you, I looked at that fear and said, not today. You ain't getting me today.
Mm.
Did the helicopter ride. Was it scary? Oh, it was absolutely scary, but guess what? I can see a helicopter now and go, oh, that I know what those things do.
Yeah.
I know how they sound. I know all. I have the information now.
Mm-hmm.
And being informed, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. You face the fear.
Yeah. But you also have to be informed about, you know, what is it that you're afraid of?
Yeah.
What is that fear stemming from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, when we come forward, I want to talk about, there's an element in the play, Blood at the Root, that Michael Shepherd directs brilliantly. I want to talk about the chairs. I did not forget about the chairs.
The chairs.
And I want to talk about this business of being invisible and choosing a side. There's this really, really powerful part in the play where this black young man doesn't want to take a side. He doesn't want to be on the side of black people or white people. He wants to exist in the cracks.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
The station you turn to when you had it up to here with cultural incompetence. KBLA Talk 1580. KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
Maisha Cairo here for KBLA Talk 1580. We're live in Los Angeles at J.P. Morgan Chase's Advancing Black Wealth Tour, and I'm speaking to some of the attendees today to see why it was so important for them to be here.
Yeah, this is Lathian and Tyler. Main reason that's very important for me to be here just to leave a legacy for my kids. Black wealth, generational wealth is what we need in our community, you know. Oh, Chase, you know, someone has to take the lead. You know, they're showing, you know, big business like Chase cares, and, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is at, you know. So it's good to see, you know, big institution like Chase, you know, giving a lifting hand, you know, to the community. And, you know, you got to respect that. You know, it makes me want to bank with Chase and, you know, give them, another look if I go to another institution. I actually see what Chase is doing for the community.
That's right. Chase is doing their part to help advance black wealth. For more money support, tune in every day from 12 to 2 to KBLA Talk 1580's Midday Money Chain right here.
Oh, this cold.
Honey?
Honey?
Honey, you need DayQuil Severe Honey.
DayQuil Severe Honey gives you powerful cold and flu symptom relief with a honey-licious taste. Because life doesn't stop for a cold.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Now I'm getting a cold.
Honey.
Try DayQuil Severe Honey for powerful cold and flu relief. DayQuil Severe with honey flavor. The daytime coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, honey-licious, power through your day medicine.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company.
Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580 joins you in standing for voting rights. When We All Vote is a leading national nonpartisan initiative on a mission to change the culture around voting and to increase participation in each and every election by helping to close the race and age gap. Created by Michelle Obama, When We All Vote brings together individuals, institutions, brands, and organizations to register new voters across the country and advance civic education for the entire family and voters of every age to build an informed and engaged electorate for today and generations to come. When We All Vote empowers their supporters and volunteers to take action through voting, advocating for their rights, and holding their elected officials accountable. Please visit whenweallvote.org to stand up for your rights, voting rights. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
Every story has a backstory.
You're listening to The Backstory. Backstory.
With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black My engineer is LaBreeze, and he is hitting it. In the Can I tell you? That song is so appropriate. Why? Because we're talking with Michael Shepherd, director of the stage play Blood at the Roots. It is currently playing at Open Fist Theater Company here in Los Angeles. I want you all to go and see it. I've seen it twice. I'm going to see it a third time because...
And I hope the night you go is October 21st.
Tell us why.
Because October 21st is our blackout night. Now, for those of you who don't know what blackout nights are, it was created for a play that... called Slave Play in New York, where they asked for the audiences on one particular night to just be black and brown. Mm-hmm. And the nature of the play changes when you have an entirely black and brown audience, that it speaks to you differently.
That's going to be good.
Yeah,
I'm going to be in the room for that night. I have to be in the room. And I want to go from there to here. We've talked about, those of you who have been listening, we've talked about this play is about racism at the heart of it. And there is a strong scene in the play where this black actor decides he doesn't want to take a side. You're listening to me on the unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580, where we root for everybody black. However, there are some black people who are exhausted with being caught up in all that race, the lift that racism causes us to carry, right? And so there's a guy, he doesn't want to take a side. He doesn't want to be on the side of black people, doesn't want to be on the side of white people. He wants to exist in the crack. Talk to us, Michael, about that phenomenon and why people can choose to exist in the crack.
I think that, well, in the way it's handled in this play is that, and this is not giving anything away because the minute you see it, it's a biracial actor.
Yeah.
And as a biracial actor, you know, playing this character who is like, who can't, you know, I'm too black over here, I'm too white over here.
He says, I'm always somebody, nigga, but I'm never.
I'm always somebody's nigga, but I'm not.
Your nigger.
I'm not your nigger.
Hey, My nigger. Okay. Yes.
I know. All of a sudden, I'm trying to remember the words.
Right.
He goes, I'm always somebody's nigger.
Such a powerful line.
But I'm never just someone's my nigger.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such. And this actor, Zine Vecchio, he is so brilliant in that role. The first time we did that, we're all in the room just sobbing.
Yes. You do. Because you feel him.
Yeah.
You feel him deeply.
If for nothing else, come and hear that speech.
It's so many speeches.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I also want to say this. This would play about racism. And there is humor.
Oh, God,
and there
yeah.
is joy.
There is.
There is, you
absolutely.
Know, it's not just.
It's heavy, but it's not just heavy.
Yeah.
It has its light,
you know,
moments.
It's not trauma. It's not trauma
no,
porn.
No,
it is. There is a lightness to stuff that happens, you know, with other people.
And beautiful relationships.
Yes.
I like that element of it as well.
Yeah.
It speaks
so
to us about the power of relationships.
Think
yeah.
that, oh, it's going to be sad and
no.
all these things.
Thank
no,
you for inserting
no,
that.
No, no,
you're
no.
absolutely right. Talk about the joy of it. I found joy in the chairs. And the added
element.
You ain't getting out of here without me talking
chairs.
About these chairs. That's right. Because I've never seen anything like this in a play. Talk to us about the added yeah. element of the chairs.
Okay, so here's the thing, y'all. So I'm a director who doesn't believe in a blackout, and I believe that scene changes should add and push the story forward.
Yes.
That you just don't stop. Blackout, something changes, lights up. It stops you from, like, moving. You know, you have to, once the lights go black for me, it's like, oh, I sit back and I become disengaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to be engaged through the entire
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is only 79 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you don't realize how fast it actually goes until you're sitting there and all of a sudden
yeah.
it's over.
Yeah. And then it's over and you're like, that's it? I want more.
Yeah. That's what I hear all the time. And so, because it is theater and we're on a limited budget and I can't create the types of sets and things that I would love to do if I had, like, you know, a $500,000 budget, but I don't. So you have to think of different ways. And one of the ways that I did this is that we have 11 identical chairs that sort of serve as the entire set. I won't give away what the set is, but when you walk in, you're going to be blown away.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yes, you will.
But and
I will
so,
concur.
And so I just use chairs and choreography with chairs, which I've done in a couple other shows. But this one was like, I've got 11 actors. I got 11 chairs. What am I going to do?
Mm.
And we created sort of a ballet of sorts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I'll
it's,
give you that. That's
dance.
A good
these
word.
Are,
they
this, dance
it's a and chairs.
It's a dance. They
are dancing chairs.
Chairs.
That's right. You, that's right.
It's going to make no sense, but when you see it, you'll go, oh, they're the chairs.
Yes. Yes. As soon as y'all come and you say, like, that's why Michelle kept hopping on them chairs, because you got to get there to see the chairs. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
Stay tuned for more of
The Backstory.
The Backstory. Backstory. With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
King C. Gillette knows you're dedicated to your barbershop routine. But what about after? What's your routine for facial hair to avoid dry skin, itching, and beard rough? Well, the King C. Gillette Beard Oil is the perfect fit for making your beard feel as good as it looks. It softens your facial hair and moisturizes to help prevent itch due to dry skin. Get facial hair that feels as good as it looks. Just trim, wash, and soften with King C. Gillette.
Now back to more of the all-new weekend lineup here on KBLA Talk 1580.
I wish y'all could see Michael in here dancing, me and Michael in here dancing to LaBreeze's playlist. I'm so grateful for you, LaBreeze. Thank you so much.
I just want to come back and hear LaBreeze play.
Okay. Okay, because he is not playing with us here today. Listen, it has been a wonderful hour. I have spent this hour talking to Michael Shepherd. He's an actor, and he's also the director of a new stage play entitled Blood at the Root. It is currently playing at Open Fist Theater Company here in Los Angeles. You've got to see it. Michael, I want to have you wrap us up with these last 3 minutes of why you want folk to come, why they need to come, what you hope they get from seeing this play.
I think it's an experience. I think it will open your mind to think differently about race, because you're looking at it from the perspective of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. Mm. And I know that with my 17-year-old has seen it three times now and keeps bringing their friends to see it.
Yeah.
Because it is affecting them and it's starting conversation.
Mm.
And I think conversation, particularly with your kids, who are anywhere from 15, 14 and up, the conversation is real.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation is very real. And you can get tickets for Blood at the Root by Dominique Morisseau at OpenFist, OpenFist.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we are open until October 28th. There may be a possible extension, but I can't guarantee that right now. So get your tickets if you'd like to see it.
And remember, again, Michael said Blackout Night is October 21st.
October 21st.
Yes.
And it's already starting to sell. The first Blackout Night we had, which is the night you spoke, it was almost sold, completely sold out, and this one is already, people have heard, and they are buying tickets for this.
Wow. Yeah. I want you all to come and see it because it's really, really rich. I want to also share that Michael has a podcast called
Boozin, B-O-O-Z-I-N, with Gays,
G-A-Y-S. And you can find it anywhere you
listen
to podcasts?
You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it... I'm forgetting where else.
Talk to us about what Boozing with Gays is about.
The premise of the podcast. During the pandemic, my husband and I were bored, and we started like taping ourselves drinking and cooking in the kitchen. And then 3 years later, here we are with a pretty decent following. And, you know, and we just talk, we drink and eat and talk about, you know, everything that's happened during the week.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it becomes very fun because we drink and we drink. So by like 40 minutes into it, it starts getting really funny for people.
Yeah. I want to do some rapid fire questions with you.
All right, I'm in.
All righty. Joy for me is?
My family.
Love for me is?
My husband.
Kindness for me is?
My family.
God is?
Question mark.
I was not expecting that. Okay. And guess what? Question mark it is. You have been listening to The Backstory with Mashay Duffy. My guest has been Michael Shepherd. It's been an honor to have you.
It has been an honor to sit and talk with you.
Amen.
And congratulations on the major achievement, 300 episodes.
100 episodes.
Third year.
Yes. Up next is Cafe Mocha with Yo-Yo, Lonnie Love, and Angelique Perrin. Of all the ways you could have spent the last hour, I am super grateful you chose to spend it with me. In the unapologetically progressive, most trusted KBLA Talk 1580. Listen, I want you all to have a wonderful rest of your day. Right here in LA, we have, what is that going on Crenshaw? It just skipped my daggone mind. Crenshaw, there's a big festival going on, and you should go check it out. I cannot believe I can't think of the name of it.
There's
just on the tip of my tongue.
There's also a one-act play festival.
Okay.
Short 10-minute short play festival that's happening at the theater right over here.
Amen.
In Leimert Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here today. Until next week, stay grateful, stay safe, and stay inspired. Love you guys.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.